Attention everyone,
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Threads of Time podcast. I am your host, Zubaz, and we are back from a small hiatus because I was on a hunt. I was on a safari, and I was hunting wolves.
Ooh.
You hear that? That's a trapped wolf right there. I caught him. I caught him after a couple weeks. So welcome, Dark Wolf, to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Man, so, all right. Let's get this question out of the way right off the bat.
Yeah, sure.
Why were you ducking me, man?
I was very busy with work, as we just had to end our last call so that the CSFBL and Pennant Wars folks know.
I have a big Pennant Wars following, so it's good that you shouted out to them.
Oh, you know, I'm sure there are about 200 users on that, so if you have even 10 people, that's about 5%. You're doing well.
Well, one thing I can say for with a great amount of certainty is I am the biggest media outlet on Pennant Wars.
I think you might be the biggest media outlet on any souped up nerd fantasy baseball like we play.
Yeah, I'm a big deal. I'm a big deal.
When I try and explain that, and God forbid if I ever said what a time sink this was. But when I explain that I'm invested in this to people, they will give me the biggest eyebrow raise. And then some of them will admit that they could never get started with it because it would never end for them. They'll admit that.
Yeah, but there, you know, we're living in weird times. There's like 40-year-old men that play Xbox all day. I mean, that seems really crazy.
As far as weird addictions go, this is low on the list.
That's what I think, too.
A time waster.
You know who I was really worried about for a while was Lemke. He got into, a couple years ago, he got into World of Warcraft.
And that's rough. Yeah.
He disappeared from CSFBL for weeks. And he even, I'm not talking shit. I believe he actually spent some days calling in sick to work to play it.
I'm not surprised. I had a friend of mine in college who, he'd wear a diaper. He said that was his low point when he shat himself.
Is that true?
Yeah, I don't think he would lie to me about this.
Because he couldn't even go away from his computer?
Yeah, he was on a quest. And so he just let it fester there through the night.
Just let that shit cook up?
Yeah, he was on a quest, dude. He got to finish it. And this is his lie. He never actually did that. He was just trying to seem cool.
What? I don't understand, though. Like, in World of Warcraft, like, I guess I didn't realize it was that action-based where you couldn't leave it.
You know, I think it's... I actually, believe it or not, did some research on this for a professor of mine. And what it is these incremental quests. And so he's probably on a very high-level one, which was... it's not that it's action-based in that, you know, you're not... You don't need to be very focused on it necessarily, but you need to be present because something's constantly happening, and it encourages you to always basically be at your computer. That's the entire point of these games.
Well, my World of Warcraft knowledge is based solely on...
The South Park episode?
No. Who's the guy that ran into the... He got his whole clan attacked. What was his name? Something Jenkins? Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
So, you know what I think might happen, though, is... Now I'm just talking shit because I don't know. But my guess is there might not always be action, but there's always a chance you could get killed.
I think that's right.
Like you're going through the forest and who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, or you need to just keep clicking like every 30 seconds or something like that. Things of that nature.
Dude, I have that type of personality. I'm glad I never started that because, like, I'm the dumbass that'll get hooked on Candy Crush. Just because of, like, those incremental rewards that just keep you sucked in.
Yeah, basically.
That's right.
It's interesting, video games, you know, you don't hear it talked about as much as you probably should, but they're just as addictive as alcohol is.
Yeah, I think that's right, but I actually did research on this, and you know, I wondered always, is it really that different from playing sports? It's not like with basketball, you're going to get to a point where you never have to play basketball again. You can't win a game and have it be the end of all basketball games, right? You will then just have to do it again the next time you play. And that's true if you play professionally or if you play it recreationally.
That is true.
The thing that limits you actually from playing a ton is that you get physically exhausted, whereas you won't get as exhausted when you're playing a video game. At the same time, though, people who miss school or miss work because they love playing basketball probably would say that they wish they had never gotten involved with it. So I always wonder about that. I think they're just like anything else.
Well, I see your point, and that makes sense. But I think the one difference with video games that gives people the allure of almost like a life supplementation, where in basketball, if you're good at basketball, it's because you did it. And in like Call of Duty, you get to be this heroic figure that you don't get to be in your normal life.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I don't know. Like in my CSFBL, I get to be Harold Cole.
You are. See, I never view myself as the player.
No, I don't either. I view myself as the GM, though.
I never know. I guess I'm I play all three parts in my mind: owner, GM, coach.
Yeah, what are we really? I guess I didn't really think about that, because we're the owner, we're the GM, and we're kind of the coach, except we can't be the coach because we don't get to make in-game decisions. We can't be the GM because we can't negotiate contracts.
Well, but we make the trades, right?
Yep. Make the trades. Make the lineup changes.
We hire the worst bullpen managers.
The worst.
Yeah.
My bullpen manager is awesome, though. You know why? Because I don't have one.
You don't have one?
Yeah, my bullpen guys, they're just out there playing euchre. They're playing cards on a card table, because I looked at it today, and my team has played like 470 innings, and my bullpen has pitched 5 of them.
That's incredible.
Yeah, you just can't count on the bullpen. You got to put scrubs in there. Do not allow them to play. Set your manager settings so they just almost, it's impossible for them to show up.
Well, here's a teaching of mine. This is going to be bad for my chances of keeping this stupid belt.
Whoa, stupid belt.
Shots fired.
All right.
No, I love the belt. It's amazing. But the what I do is after people start in the playoffs, I will put them in at very low fatigues into the bullpen so that they can't be summoned. They basically take out a spot of someone who would be awful, who could be summoned.
I think almost all of us do that, but it really fucked me last year, because I forgot that on the last sim of the year, I put bullpen fatigue down to 0, because I was starting a scrub because I didn't want to start any of my playoff pitchers.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And so when I got into the playoffs, I forgot it was at 0. Harold Cole was at like 24%. And I put him into the bullpen, and then he pitched, and he went to minus 50 on a relief appearance when we were down like 8 runs. Ah, it was brutal. Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. That was not a good bullpen technique, but I think that's a smart move, because, you know, I put like – usually how I run my playoffs – is I put the pitcher for the next game and then the pitcher for the following game. The other three normal starters all go into the bullpen, and then I just rotate them through. Even if they're at negative fatigue, I keep pulling up my worst. And I almost have to do it, because if you look at my relievers, they're all 200 and 300K guys.
I've got the same.
Yeah, so you and you know, people that don't do that don't win. I don't know why more people aren't doing that, because if you look at historically, you almost always, the best teams have five, maybe six real pitchers, and then everybody else is just dog shit.
Yeah, I mean, so this team has, usually I'm at four, max. But this team, I've got four great ones, and they haven't been in the past, they're going to be, but they haven't been discernibly different. And so I haven't even been planning for a starting pitcher too. Like, no one is my starting pitching too. And they just go in, and whoever's ready for the next start gets it. It's interesting. It's obviously worked for the last three rounds. Unlike those teams during the decade of dominance, we didn't win much in the playoffs. We were great, but we didn't win much in the postseason.
Yeah, that's interesting. You don't have a number two pitcher. You almost have to have one to win a World Series, but that hasn't proven to be the case for you.
Yeah, no, they've all been basically this. If you look at their stats, and they're all basically in the same grouping of very good, but not quite on the level of a Cole or a, I don't know who's Myers, right? That's the guy.
Yeah,
Mac. Those levels. Now, it's getting to be different this year. Daryl Smith is starting to age himself out of the conversation, and it looks like Gary Daniels has taken the step forward to be the monster I always want him to be.
I'm looking at your team right now. Let's see. So, and tell me about Barry Switzerland. Did you rename him?
No, that's a...
Was that Ash?
One. No, the one I don't like renames. The only one I did was Prodigal Hewitt. But I'm not a big fan of them.
And Prodigal Hewitt was the son of a previous player, right?
No, it was because he had... he was the best or second best pitcher in his draft, but dropped to pick 26 because he was so far away from his potential.
Oh, and wow, yeah, he dropped a long way, but he's done all right. He's been a number three or four kind of guy.
Yeah, he's fun. He's good.
What do you mean he's fun? He's not fun.
He's good.
He's only fun that he doesn't, you don't know what he's going to do.
He's fun.
And then there's a guy on your team that I really like, Ray Gallagher.
Oh, the Mr. Clutch.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, that was an inflection point for my team. If you look at the people who got drafted ahead of him, it's a joke that he dropped to me.
He was the number four pick in 2062. Let me look at who else got drafted that year.
Benji Surhoff, who was just traded to Minnetonka, and who I have been desperate to acquire, and he's awful. I offered way too much for him. Smittiest that dick said no.
Whoa.
Oh, shots fired. No, I lost.
Hey, you can't even say Ray Gallagher fell to you because you had the third pick too.
No, I traded for that one.
So Benji Surhoff was the number one overall pick. That was not a good choice. Holy shit.
That was a Ash move, one of his legacies.
That is a legacy move. Now, you may not know this, but Benji Surhoff is named after a brewer called BJ Surhoff.
Is it a brewer? Wasn't he?
He was an Oriole as well. But
yeah, he had 50 home runs, right?
He played the outfield for the Orioles, but he was a catcher for the Brewers before that. So that Ash secretly was naming all his players after Brewers, and Jelly never caught on. Like Bossio is named after Chris Bossio, the Brewer. All his renames were Brewers, but Jelly had no idea because nobody remembers the Brewers.
I should give a disclaimer now. Anything I say ill about any player is meant tongue in cheek, or any other owner.
Whoa! Don't do that. Just let it fly, man. Make these people pay.
It's all joking. There's only who don't I actually like? It's
Jelly.
No, I love Jelly.
I don't.
Why?
because he's the worst.
Is it because you don't like bald people?
You're bald, aren't you?
What?
You're bald, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Extremely. Yeah.
No, I like jelly.
There's only the only owner I didn't like boobs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You just can't stand him.
Well, no, because I appreciated him, and then when I took my brief sabbatical, I hand gifted him my team.
Yeah.
And apparently during that time, he was just a complete. He was just a bad person to take over. You make choices. He made foolish ones. And
he has the highest winning percentage in league history.
Does he? Well, that was a super team I assembled for him.
Well, he set the lineups.
That's true. He was owner, manager, GM.
But that was an interesting time because he took over a good team. He was active in the game, and then he just went crazy. Like, he was posting crazy stuff. He was spamming threads. I mean, he was just out of control. And I've never seen I've seen a million people that have self-destructive tendencies. I've never seen somebody that goes so far out of their way to impede their own success like he does in his real life, too. I really wish the best for that kid, but boy, he has a long way to go.
For his real life, I'll say I don't dislike anyone in their real life. So I'll say wish the best for boobs as well in his real life. His CSFBL persona is persona non grata. But though I suppose isn't he Daniel Payton in disguise or something?
What? No. Daniel Payton's his own guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Daniel Payton's a really good guy. I talk to him the boards as much as I do on.
Didn't he have like 20 posts or something like that, and then we voted him in?
Oh, that's a different guy. Peyton's been around for a while.
Oh, I don't play in any of the leagues anymore, so I don't know.
Yeah, he's from Scotland.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. All right.
Yeah. All right, so I'm still looking at this draft. You're clearly in your tank and bank cycle here.
God, tank.
I'm sorry, cycle. You were cycling because you never got a strike.
Dude, there were lean years.
Yeah.
It was just lean years.
But you got Willie Capitillo?
Capitillo.
Sorry. Yeah. Ray Gallagher. And then the guy that's on my team right now, Stephen Finch.
Yeah.
And then at the eighth pick, you got Jerome Litz.
Yeah.
Man, that was a good draft.
It was an incredibly weak draft, but I did all right in it.
You did a great – that's not a weak draft. Well, I mean, I guess it was weak right at the top.
Because look at the rest of it, too.
The pitcher taken by Dylan was Harold Soxenheimer.
Yeah, done nothing right.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up as well.
Yeah, that was an interesting draft. You're the champ, three-time champ.
Yeah.
Two-time holder of the championship belt.
Yeah.
We're still waiting on a second video.
You're gonna get at least two more. The problem is it takes me so long to get some more. I have ideas, right? But I need to execute them in the proper way.
It took you so long to get that Asian guy to take off his shirt and get naked in your bed.
My little Vietnamese sex slave.
Is he Vietnamese?
No, he's my Chinese roommate. And he's not American, really. Or Canadian, I guess. But isn't it funnier if he's a Vietnamese sex slave?
Yeah, I guess it'd be funnier. Sex slave works too, though, it I guess. Works.
Yeah, but they're not
as exploited as the Vietnamese.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there is a real problem, right? That they're imported here under false pretenses.
Oh, like they were sexually trafficked here.
Yeah, sex trafficking.
Well, it's our payback for the Vietnam War.
No, Luke is amazing. I wanted to do that one, but I have a good one. I don't want to spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
But the problem is I need to be somewhere, and I need to be with a friend to film me.
All right.
And it's just hard for those two things to line up. It'll make more sense when it actually happens. Right now, the being somewhere, someplace, doing something probably sounds very unsatisfying.
Yeah, it sounds kind of sexual.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would try and get my girlfriend to pose with it, but I think she would break
up. Breaking news on the Threads of Time podcast. You have a girlfriend?
Yeah, I do.
You've never talked about her?
Yeah, and that's going to be the only mention we do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we kind of had you pegged that you were going to come out as the first openly gay owner in TCL.
You can keep having me pegged as that. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
Well, but you have a girlfriend, and you just announced it on the Threads of Time podcast.
Maybe it's all for pretenses, right?
Oh, you're just faking it?
Yeah, it could be. I live in New York. It's a very backward place.
Yeah.
They don't really accept the gays.
In New York City?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a backwards place at all. That's a very progressive town, isn't it?
No, they hate the gays here.
I suppose are you in Manhattan?
I am in Manhattan.
Yeah. Too much money there. People get too conservative.
Very true. Yeah. And plus, I need, if Reds ever gets back in the league, I would need him to be willing to trade with me.
Yeah, he would not trade with you if you came out.
No, he would
not. No. So really, take great care. If you do decide to come out, wait until Kroco and Reds are both officially not coming back.
I would need to be retired, realistically. Right, or near retirement, right? It's obvious that I've lost my fastball. I'm going to be out of the league soon, so it doesn't matter.
Right. All right, so did you get on the draft results here?
All right, which year are we on?
Well,
2065?
I'm already done with that year, but that's 62 that I was looking at.
All right, which year do you want to look at?
Because, since I'm looking at the bottom of your cycle...
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Let's see what 61 looks like. I bet you have 18 picks in that one too. No, not that one.
No.
Let's look at 63.
Yeah.
All right. So 63, you got Julian O'Sullivan.
Yeah, good old Sullivan. He's been all right.
Yeah, I guess he's been all right.
Do you want to debate the merits of tanking? Or
do. It was on my list to talk to you about. So. Let's do it. Give me your.
Or do you want to? I don't want to steal the show from you. Do you want to keep running these drafts?
No. Let's talk about.
Can I run through these drafts so that everyone has context of how bad of a tanker I am?
Why don't you just tell me your story? As it relates to the accusation of tanking.
The accusation of tanking.
Do you believe yourself to be a tanker?
No, here's my deal with it. The only reason if you don't think you're going to make the postseason,
right?
The only reason in this game to, if you think you can get better talent later and you don't think that your current talent is going to help you make a later postseason, there's no reason to have it. So just get rid of it and get the best assets you can so that you can be good later. What usually stops you in real life from doing that is that you have different constituencies that you need to please. For instance, you need to keep having fans come and watch your game. You need to have, if you're a general manager, you may have an owner who's close to death or something of that nature who won't be patient or who will mistrust your strategy. But I'm an owner of one. I have only one fan I usually need to please, which is myself. So I can have the risk of having a few lean years when I do really believe that, I think there was back when I first got Canterbury from Bill, I had this player, Enrique Watson.
Yep, I remember.
I think there were, understandably, a lot of people who wanted to trade for him. But he was part of a future playoff run. So there was no reason to deal him off. And even though he would have netted some really great assets, then actually the way it worked out, it probably would have been better to just trade him off. But I did the calculus and I thought, well, he's going to help me make the postseason at some point later. This current team, as constructed, will never make the playoffs. I suppose I could try and fiddle with it. And actually, you know, having this belt is probably going to keep me trying to win the World Series, because God forbid I have to send it off somewhere else.
I like hearing that.
Now, the worst thing that's going to happen is if Piggy wins it one year.
Because it's going to get expensive.
Well, I guess we got a lot of people now. Daniel Patton.
Yep. Soldats.
Well, Soldats, if he makes it through.
Mold.
I don't know. Is he alive?
What's that?
Is he alive? Do we know?
You know, I don't think we're sure he's alive. I don't even think we knew he was alive ever.
Yeah.
He might be a bot. Potentially.
Yeah. So he would be a bad person to send it to. But, I mean, you know, there isn't the other way, and I've always wondered to do it, would be Cubs' way, where he's figured out, I think rightly, that veterans in this league used to be completely undervalued.
Yep.
So you could trade your mid first and get three really good players if you were patient, especially before 4-1, because he never really goes through the tank and bank. I don't know. Do you think my tank and bank argument makes sense? Do you think I'm completely off base?
No, I'm actually going to take what you said a step further, because you're exactly right on the fan of one. So you don't have any community pressure. You're not trying to get a stadium built. You don't have an owner breathing down your neck. But not only that, is you don't have to worry about injuries or team chemistry.
Yeah.
So when you don't have to worry about injuries or team chemistry, then the only thing that matters is talent, just pure talent. And the only way to get talent is by acquiring them through the draft or through trades. But either way, and this is my stance on it, is everybody's that's successful is doing it one of those two ways or a combination of both. But at the end of the day, the only way to win is to get guys that were drafted high. So you're going to do it one way or another, but there's no one out there that's taking the Oakland A's strategy and has a bunch of second round guys and is winning World Series.
Well, yeah, I've never felt like we're really comparable to baseball, even though we are a sim baseball league. We don't have enough rounds. We have this absurd thing where your high-range shortstops now determine whether you win a league or not. And the injury thing is a great point, because it just decreases the variance of super teams, right? Your super team in real life will get injured. The best players may get injured, and suddenly it's not a super team anymore. So you're incentivized to keep competing just because shit might happen.
Right.
But my code, if these players have declined substantially and the person doesn't realize it, you know, you basically know what you have. The other people in your, you know, my division right now is it's a real bloodbath, just because every team is so good. And if we – let's pull up the standings right now. I mean, look at –
every team is not so good. Your team is filled with junk.
My team?
Your division. You got the Dillon Lutherans.
Like in small ball.
Dillon Lutherans until yesterday was starting a guy that didn't have a 50 on any of his ratings.
Oh, man. Hawkeye, best owner. Best owner we got.
Right. And then you got the Valorious Patriots, who are in their cycle right now. They're in their downswing.
Well, he's about to get in the cycle. Joke is gonna make that decision to cut bait. That's coming.
Yep. And then you got the two middlers, Jelly and Drinkslinger. Drinkslinger, you know, catches lightning in the bottle every once in a while, but you know, Jelly's slowly starting to adopt the cycling strategy secretly.
I think he's going to be pushed to it, though. PR didn't really cycle. He just made a bunch of shrewd trades, didn't he?
That he's good at that. He's willing to work trades in advance of other trades. You know, so like he'll know he can get a throw-in guy and flip him. You know, he's very Kaz-like when it comes to trading.
Yeah, my only, I guess, criticism of his trading style, and I think he's a great owner in general, but he sometimes spins his wheels too much. So sometimes he will, I think, accidentally take a step back in the name of being very creative. But, you know, I guess that's part of it, right? You're not going to win every trade. So, you know, I certainly haven't won many recently.
A couple years ago, I saw that guy burn his team to the ground and then turn it into the best team in the league in two nights.
Yeah.
Like, he decided he was going to break the whole thing down. He traded everybody away. Then he made one really good trade. I forgot who it was for. Yeah. And then he was like, well, I can build around this guy. And then he traded all his picks away again.
No, it's great having people like that in the league who are willing to trade. It's more fun in the game when people are active traders.
You and I have made quite a few trades over the years. I've probably traded with you more than anybody.
People criticize me, probably rightly, that I spray a lot when I try and trade. But that's because, you know, I'm always, I guess this might be on your list too, my trading style, which I know Pimp likes to criticize.
Why does he criticize it?
Well, because, you know, I sometimes, you know, with you, sometimes I'll come and I'll say, okay, I've got this, let's make it work. Sometimes I don't really know what the other is thinking. And I don't necessarily know, I don't know how they're valuing their players. I don't know how they're going to value my players. So what I will do is I will say, I am interested in four things you have. Here are 10 things that I have. Tell me if you are interested in them, and maybe we can find a match. Which, you know, I think is sometimes helpful in that if you're willing to work through the process, maybe you can see something that wasn't there. Of course, it can also turn people off because they don't want to go.
Because you're basically saying you do the work.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you're going to have to meet me halfway though.
But that's what Pimp doesn't like about it, right?
Because we're not necessarily going to make it there. We're not necessarily going to get all the way there. And I'm not going to just cave on a trade probably. So Pimp probably, he probably doesn't want to put in all the work, even if it means I'm doing half the work. That might still be a ton of work, which I completely understand. And the other thing is he may be able to get, just better trades than elsewhere. And why waste the time with me when he knows, you know, I'll probably make him work for something and he may not win it.
Yeah. You know why I think you and I trade so well together is because we're both comfortable with the fact that we know what we're looking for. And it doesn't really matter what we have to give up.
That's right.
You know, we know that at the end of the day, it kind of washes out. So it's not a struggle of I need to get one extra thing or your best scrub or whatever. It's kind of like, okay, here's where I'm at. Here's where you're at. Let's just figure it out.
Well, also, I don't have that fear of losing trades. I don't think you do either.
Mm-mm.
I welcome ridicule from the league. I don't shy away from it. I always think it's fun. It's a fantasy sports league. Where else can you get ridicule and it doesn't matter? Right. So for instance, the Fitch trade, I think we can definitively say I lost that one. He's been hitting lights out for you, and I got a late first, which I don't even think, I'm not even sure we'll ever pay.
Well, you got two things, though, because at that time you had to move his salary.
I didn't actually have to. That's what I realized after I'd made my trades. I could have hung on to him.
Oh.
But, you know, when some you lose some.
Yeah. Who else do you trade with regularly?
Let's see. God, do I trade with anyone else regularly? I like trading with Cubs. He's always good.
I trade with him quite a bit, too. He's never afraid to take his shot. That's what I like about him.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't really have any favorite trading partners. I don't, looking at the list.
God, you might be it. Yeah, whenever I Hank, I'll trade with a lot. We had the we had the whole Troy Pontiff thing years back. But he apparently he's not afraid to trade with me even after that.
So trading is always tough because you have your favorite players and giving somebody up that that somehow you formed an emotional attachment with is always just killer. And have you traded somebody where even if the trade was fair, you were like, oh my God, I can't believe I just traded blank?
Oh yeah, I mean Ed Morrison, that was Edmo.
Edmo, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I felt so gut-wrenchingly bad about it that I traded back for him after one start.
Oh yeah, one start. I don't remember that.
Yeah, this was PR. I got Guerrero at the end of his run.
Yeah,
and
to match him with Paler.
Paler was gone by this point.
Oh,
yeah, no. This was the Marty Charles years. Yeah, Paler had a short. He was a. For what you expect as being very fearsome, I think you do as well. But in reality, he was only good for about 7 or 8 years.
Not even the full decade of dominance.
No. Marty Charles was the only one He was there from beginning to end.
Marty Charles holds a lot of records.
My favorite player, yeah.
As far as longevity goes, there's not many, because he played.
He was the Iron Man. He never missed a game.
He also has the most at-bats in history, right?
Yeah, most at-bats, most plate appearances. I think he close to most walks, stuff like that.
Yeah.
A real aggregator who also had a couple of real peak years.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Well, it drove me crazy. I don't know if you remember. We had we were voting best third baseman season of all time, I think.
Yeah.
I think we picked Robert Beal over him.
No, it was Jimmy Seymour.
No, it was Robert Beal because we were voting more than one in.
Well, I'm not saying who won. I'm just saying who won in my head.
Oh, in your head, sure.
It was Jimmy Seymour.
I think we were voting two in or something like that. And it drove me crazy that people picked Beal over him just because he fielded. And people never – I don't understand how people view value in this league, because when they are trading for high range, they will pay so much for like – I think when it's currently happening, people view fielding as very important. But the retrospective on fielders is very meh. People don't really – it kind of drops off how people viewed careers, except unless you're this was the only thing you did. But we never say, who is your guy, Mandel or something. I guess he's not an example.
Well, he was a 95 range guy, but he couldn't hit.
Yeah.
Or he was a 99 range guy, I think. I don't know. I don't remember.
These guys who were excellent range people we never consider them as the all-time greats, which we should, given that they're getting picked number one pick now.
Yeah. Yeah, so what is the number on the guy that got picked number one overall? I don't have scouting, so I couldn't see.
I don't know. I have vague scouting, so I assume it's...
It must have been good, because he didn't look good without scouting.
I mean, of course, Goot did draft him, so...
You're talking shit about Goot.
Oh,
my boy Goot. Goot doesn't get a lot of shout-outs on the podcast. I don't know. He keeps his head low.
Goot's hilarious.
I got to get him on the podcast, man. Goot would be awesome.
Would he just respond in one-word responses?
Like a robot?
Yeah, like a robot.
Maybe. That'd be fine with me if he got on the podcast. Our podcast would only last like 18 minutes. But
well, no, you could talk for an hour, man.
Yeah, and just ramble on, and then have him just go,
Third time.
Oh man, that's funny.
Who's the guy you had about on Pennant Wars?
I had Schnuggelheimer.
Oh my God! Oh, yeah.
That was a good get because that was right at the height of the Pennant Wars war.
Fucking Schnuggelheimer. That's right.
I break news on this podcast, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, my favorite part of that podcast was he had said something about how he was he felt like people should express their opinion and how he was open-minded.
Yeah.
Then he immediately said something about how if he didn't like something, he didn't care for it, and he was going to come at you. it was my favorite juxtaposition of two ideas. I guess they're not completely incompatible. It might be you should be open-minded, but I'm going to jump down your throat if you are. But yeah, I remember that podcast.
Podcast was almost a year ago now. I don't really remember. I'm going to have to re-listen to it.
I think it was when it was over the summer. I think it was when I was studying for the bar. So that was when I was listening to all of them.
So right before we started the podcast, I ask everybody, is there anything that you don't want to talk about? And the first thing you said was, I do want to talk about Pennant Wars. Let's talk about Pennant Wars.
Yeah.
I was wondering why that was stuck in your craw. What's the deal with Pennant Wars?
No, that was the Schnoogly-Heimer thing. It was always just a funny little feud to me.
It was a fun, and it's gone now. Like, I don't know if that's
gone.
I don't know. I'm gonna look it up right now.
Let's look it up.
I know we don't talk about it anymore, so it couldn't be doing well.
Really?
You know, there's a. Oh, it, well, it's still the site's still up.
I'm seeing 1,200 likes for it on. Wait, 12,000.
Yeah.
Likes for it on Facebook.
Well, remember I asked about I asked him about that on the podcast, and right. Afterwards he kind of admitted that Nolan bought a bunch of likes, like on eBay or something. You can get a bunch of people from China to like your podcast. So your roommate probably likes it. See if your roommate's like that.
Oh my God, CFPL is 269.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good at all.
We got to work on our social media campaign. Smittiest, man, if you're out there, man, get your shit straight.
I don't begrudge them doing that. It's good marketing, right?
What?
It gets people interested, right? 12,000 people like
it. It doesn't get anybody interested. He's just buying. Well, you're buying unqualified likes.
I assume it bumps them up, right? That's what it does.
In their heads?
In your search results.
I don't know, maybe. But if he would be rich, and he is not.
He is not.
He has a job again. Anathema was saying that on his podcast, that Nolan's wife made him go out and get a job again because Pennant Wars wasn't making any money.
Well, you know, live the dream. Maybe one day Brian will buy Pennant Wars from him.
Are you kidding me? If the dream really happened, I would buy CSFBL from Brian.
Well, how much money are you proposing to pay for that?
I offered $12,000.
You did not.
I did. I did. I offered Brian $12,000. He didn't even respond.
All right, maybe one day.
It's probably worth what? Maybe 4,000 with the goodwill with the members.
I don't.
I offered 12.
Maybe I'll pitch in.
Yeah, now that you're making that attorney cash,
we can be a conglomerate. We'll have Joke in there as well. He can be on the board of directors.
I don't want Joke to be part of it.
No,
no, no. He makes rules up and then follows them to a T.
Does he really follow the rules to the T?
Only his own.
Oh, I always take that as not serious. Do you think he's serious about it?
No. No, Joke's about as even as it gets.
Yeah, I think he's just here for the, what does he say, the fake fantasy baseball and fake friends.
And the fake friends, yeah.
I think that's right.
He won't call us real friends, but deep down I know that he thinks of us as friends.
I think that's right, right?
Yeah.
Deep down, dark places.
I think what he's really worried about is that his beautiful wife likes me more than she likes him.
Does he have a beautiful wife?
Yeah, the gavel. She's gorgeous. And she has these bright blue eyes that will hypnotize you.
Did you sleep with her?
I did not. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to try in Las Vegas.
We're not making podcast news right now.
But we're prognosticating that.
Well, you just did announce that you're going to try. So
yeah, we're breaking news. Well, at the very least, I'm going to try and dance with her in front of Joke and make sure that she's enjoying herself.
Well, and he's watching, right?
Yeah. And then at the very best, I'm going to take the whole group to one of those Las Vegas hypnotists, comedy hypnotists. But then I'm going to pay him off in advance to, get her to like me better than him.
That's pretty funny.
But actually, I also have that plan with Lemke's wife, so I really got to figure this out.
Is that tease?
Yeah, tease.
A good old tease.
That's on my list, too. I got to talk to you about tease. In one of the funniest rivalry, definitely the funniest rivalry in TCL history, every time Tease post, and you were like, oh, God. You were just so grossed out that a woman would even be posting. Tell us about that.
Oh, I don't give a shit. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, you gotta talk about Tease. What?
I just thought it was funny. Why it's funny is that it's the I don't care if she posts on the forum or not. Please post on the forum. But why it was funny was the you watch the league, right?
Yeah, where I do. I love
you're
it.
You're aware of it's the idea behind it,
yep.
Right? This is the you're supposed to be your bastion from the rest of your life.
Bastion from women. It's your yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and us folk who may or may not come out one day yep. have no use for them, right? So.
Oh, I didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah. No.
Well,
okay. Gotta keep the sausage fast.
Well, hang on though. I thought gay people like girls, or are there like militant gay people that just are like we don't have any use for your race? And if so, those are the gay people I want to hang out with because I'm with them on that. We have shared priorities there.
In all seriousness, one of my best friends from high school is gay.
Yeah,
and he's told me there's a pejorative they use for straight people. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Breeders.
Breeders. Yes, I've heard that before.
Yeah, that's the pejorative they use.
But couldn't I be part of that crew as long as I was not a breeder? Literally.
You have no kids, right?
I have no maybe kids, and I don't like women.
Maybe you got a vasectomy.
Well, but I don't like women.
You don't like women? No.
Well,
yeah, I guess you do have the whole theory on you can't spend time with them, right? But aren't you dating someone?
No. I had Kelly come down for the weekend, and that's the most amount of time that I could spend with a woman this quarter. And then maybe next quarter I'll have her come back. But that's it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm done with the relationships, man. They're the worst.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, it takes away your freedom.
Interesting. I don't feel that way at all.
I think
maybe I will one day though. I haven't been.
Yeah.
I hadn't been in a relationship in a serious relationship in about 7 years, in between this one and the last.
Seven years ago, you were like 16.
I was 21.
Wait, you're 28?
Yeah, I'm 28.
Oh, I thought you were younger than that.
No.
All right. So, yeah, man, because over time, relationships, you do it over and over again, right? And you'll have several relationships in your life. And they only end one way. They end up failing one way or another, right? The only one that hasn't failed is the one you're in now, and that one's going to fail too. That's just how it goes.
I mean, what if you both die at the same time? That's a success, right?
like a murder-suicide? Because that's how those go down.
No, that's a fail. No, I'm thinking more of the
like you die in each other's arms.
Yeah, the burning car crash in each other's arms.
Yeah, I guess that's success. Yeah, that's romantic.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole do it over and over again, you raise an interesting point, because I've been dating the current one, depending on how you look at it, either a half year or three quarters of a year.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't know if how many times I want to go through this again.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is why people settle.
It is.
Because yeah.
The fun part is that first 3 months, right, where you're getting to know somebody. It's exciting.
I call it the honeymoon period.
Yep.
It's the other person can do no wrong.
Right.
I agree with you there, but don't you need to have kids? Isn't that part of it?
No. See, that's the trick. Everybody has it in their heads that they're quote unquote supposed to have kids, but no one really wants those crying, shitting babies. They're the fucking worst.
I do. I'm gonna send them off to boarding school though.
Like as babies.
You know, kids as young as 10 are going on college tour visits. So by the time I have kids, it might be possible.
When I was 10, I was going on scared straight visits to the prison.
No, you weren't. Were you really?
No, I've never been on that. No, but they need to have a boarding school for babies, I think. That way you can, it's kind of like, potty training a puppy. Like, that whole part's just miserable, and it'd be nice if you could just skip it. So you just put it in the pound.
Outsource it, yeah.
Yeah, outsource it. That's the American way, right? Give it
put
to
it in the incubator.
Yeah, give it to the Asian roommate. Have him raise your kid for a little while.
Jesus, oh my God, that would be awful. That kid would not last 2 days.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about having kids is it keeps, like I'm saying, it keeps you from your freedom, kind of like relationships. And you, so far, have clearly enjoyed your freedom. You went on all sorts of trips. You were like, didn't you go to Moscow?
Yeah, you know, that's the only thing that is my only reservation on this is that my year in Europe or Hong Kong working may never happen.
Mm. Wait, because of the relationship?
Yeah.
Do not let that happen.
Well, I don't know if it would make sense for my career anyway in general.
But you got to do stuff like that when you're young, because all of a sudden you'll accidentally have a kid and you're not going anywhere.
I am aware of that. It's a consideration. I do like to travel a lot, and that's just a fact of life. Though, I think we're the type of people where we can go on vacation separately and not have it be a big deal.
Let me tell you, you go to Hong Kong, there's a lot of beautiful people out there.
Yeah, I'm aware. I was in China for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know what it's like.
I've always wanted to go to Hong Kong. I've always wanted to go to the Philippines.
You and I will go together, Jason.
All right, let's do it. Well, you know what? We'll go find Soldats.
Yeah,
and we'll put them up in the draft. I don't even know what that means, but we're going to try it.
We'll time it for when the draft is going to be on, so that we can get him to draft.
No. We could literally go at any time, and there's a 38% chance that he's holding up the draft. So I think we're safe at any point. So we're probably not going to actually meet up with Soldats, but one person you did meet up with.
Jelly.
Jelly. Tell me about that.
He's a great, intense guy. I think, you know, he met me probably at the low part of my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just out of college, working an awful job, completely disillusioned. So I'd like to talk to him again now. He had some interesting advice. When you're in that stage and you're that old, I think you cling to advice a lot and seek it out.
Yeah.
And he actually had good advice to give.
Did you take his advice?
Well, no, I didn't at all. But I thought it was, it was more commentary on the world.
Yeah.
Because I was saying that I was going to go to law school soon. and I was gonna try and get into law schools. And he was saying, oh, I don't really believe in education. As he didn't say that. He was more saying, I don't believe in schooling as a means to getting where you want. Hmm. I think you more just have to do the business. Like, just do it. And that's not really my personality. And I think I just kind of took his point. Maybe that wasn't his point, and he can correct it when he listens to this. But that there are some people who are those type of self-motivated people who don't need to go through the proper channels to get where they need to go. And then there are people like me who are more, I need to be directed towards something. And then once I'm directed toward it, Lord knows I will work as hard as possible to achieve it. But I don't have that inner sense of, I must accomplish something this with my life. And it's more like, all right, well, I went to law school, so now I'll try and be the best lawyer I can be.
That's interesting. So, because what you're talking about, like, you and I contrast each other, because I saw no usefulness in college. I didn't even attempt to go, but I wanted to change the world, you know? So yeah. like I always had this like nebulous light that I've been chasing, but I did not do any formal education at all. But you know, that didn't stop you from, or it didn't stop me from being successful, and it's not stopping you from being successful. It's just two different paths, right?
Yeah, it's just two different paths. And I think that was his point. What else was I surprised about? Oh, you know what I was surprised about when I met with him?
What's that?
You know, I always thought when he was, remember he used to have a very, let's say adversarial relationship with a lot of people in the league.
Wolf, why are you trying to be so kind on the podcast? You're afraid of making somebody mad. Just talk. People hated him.
Yeah, people didn't like him.
Yeah, because he was abrasive.
Yeah, he was abrasive. And he, you know, I always thought when he would say that he had these arguments that I always thought he was not sincere with.
About like he was arguing for the sake of arguing?
Well, no, it wasn't that. People were asking him why he was doing things. And I always thought it was like, I'm just doing them because I can. Or like, you know, I don't know. He always gave these very elaborate reasons. And my memory's failing me here on what they were for why he was doing things like AA stashing. And things of that nature that got people riled up.
Yeah.
And then when I talked to him, I realized he was sincere. He was completely sincere in what he'd been writing and believed that his reasons were legitimate and just and could not understand the other side of the argument. Or if he could understand the other side of the argument, thought it was stupid.
Right.
Maybe that's what it was. He thought the other side of the argument, he just couldn't get it, why people would want him to put, I think it was Ibarra into...
Yeah, Ibarra. It was Ibaaara.
Yeah, they would want him. Yeah. He thought, because he, for him, this is what it was. For him, his only goal was to win the World Series. He didn't really care about the players and their legacies.
Yep.
Remember, we were talking about sentimentality. Yep. He didn't give a shit about that. What he just cared about was his winning percentage and winning. As much as I like winning, I'm attached to the players as well. So he didn't have that. And I suppose it makes him, in some ways, a superior owner because he's willing to cut ties with these guys more easily. Whereas there are some people, and you know, it's just much more difficult. I ascribe a higher value to them because I've developed some sort of affection for this code that exists nowhere.
Yeah, that is weird. So, because you're right, like we actually made rules to force him to play.
Yep.
Ibarra, which in retrospect really doesn't make any sense because I guess our thinking behind it was he wasn't being fully competitive during the regular season because paying all his best players.
Yeah, those rules were inane. The problem was he is right that
the best way to get him to stop doing that was to field competitive teams around him.
Yeah. So I'm looking at Ibarra now, and what made everybody mad is in 2019 and 2020, he had only played a single game both those years so he could comply with the rule.
Yep.
And then in the playoffs, Ibarra played three games, had a 2.57 ERA, 14 innings. The next year he played two games, had a zero ERA. So I think that's what was making people mad, as he was playing him in the playoff. To be honest, though, he didn't even start any games. So
no, that was definitely what was making people mad. But the way to get him to play Ibarra in the regular season would have been to have competitive teams around him that would have forced him to do it.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
He can't do that anymore because, you know, you've got the tankers, the sneaky drinks,
the submarine.
And you used to have. I mean, back in those days, who were the owners? And I remember it as being not the strongest crew.
Frank's Papa.
Good old Reds was there. That was always the funniest juxtaposition of owners.
With Reds and Jelly in it?
Jelly, yeah. I mean, and didn't Reds come in right as Croco was leaving, basically?
Yeah, it was. It's like they had to hand off a Bible. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, like, I'm coming in coach here, and then he hands off a Bible.
No, Reds will never believe me, but I do want him back. As crazy as that sounds, because he is so sometimes frustrating to deal with. And in those moments, I probably won't want him back in the league. But in general, I enjoyed Reds. The Reds experience thoroughly.
Oof. I just got past a huge meltdown with Reds. You probably didn't follow the Wolf game most recently.
Oh.
it got super ugly, man. We were both villagers, and I didn't know that he was a villager at the time, but he was just like totally dominating the conversation. He had double the amount of posts as anybody else.
How can someone dominate the conversation, though? It's a board.
He was answering himself. Anyways, so he got mad at me for kind of accusing him of wolfy behavior. And then he posted my name, Jason Havey. He starts calling me Jason Havey on the Wolf game thread. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, you're just, like, losing your mind. And so I said, used his name. And then he wanted the whole thing censored. And then he told me to jump off a bridge. And he said he was going to commit game suicide. And we, like, lost a full day dealing with this, like nonsense.
This crazy person.
And he wasn't even a wolf. He wasn't even trying to confuse us. He was trying to help. I don't know, so I stopped talking to him for like a week, and then we finally talked again through text message the other day.
Did he have a special thing, like being village idiot or something?
No, he just had it naturally.
Well, you know, people have different personalities. He's always interesting.
He is interesting. He's a good guy, but
yeah,
boy, when he rages, man, there's no containing him.
There is no containing him. I think we've talked him down from some things. I remember him; he was getting better toward the end, and then he would get worse. You know, I did. Around the time of the election, I did, because predictably most of my friends are very liberal.
Right.
Read some of the stuff on the forum to some of my friends. They got a kick out of it.
You mean before the last presidential election?
It was around that time. Yeah.
Oh man, that's good stuff. So, I don't know if you care if I talk about where you went to college.
No.
You went to Columbia.
I went to Cornell for college and Columbia for law school.
What company do your parents own that they can afford to send you to these schools?
Well, you know, in reality, you can get you can get loans for all of this if you want. So,
but you didn't.
You know, that's none of the podcast business.
You could, but you didn't.
It's none of the podcast business. And I do know people who have taken out loans and invested them because the interest rates are so low. So maybe I did.
Cornell is in Ithaca, right?
That's right.
And then Columbia is actually in New York.
Yeah, it's Harlem.
Yeah. I bet you fit in perfect in Harlem.
But you know,
you don't stick out at all.
You know, I've got to tell you, there's something about me that makes me, you know, let's skip this topic. Let's move on to the next one.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, where are you from originally? You're from New York somewhere?
I'm from the city. Yeah. I grew up in Chelsea.
What's Chelsea?
It's like near the Village, Greenwich Village.
So in Manhattan.
Yeah, and I live in Greenwich Village now, which is the heart of it, yeah.
I've been to Greenwich Village just as a tourist, and that's a really cool area.
Yeah, it's a good area to grow up in. And I went to high school in Brooklyn, so there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, Harlem, damn, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard knock life, right?
Yeah, Columbia's real hard knock.
Harlem is.
Columbia's actually changed the name of the neighborhood that I was in to Morningside Heights to separate it from Harlem. And really, Harlem's pretty good now.
Clinton works there.
The east side of Harlem is a worse neighborhood. Even then, I never felt nervous around that area.
What side of Harlem is Bill Clinton's office?
I think he's West Harlem or Central Harlem. I'm not sure.
Good old Bill.
Yeah.
So, you and I, your team name is appropriate. It's the Arch Nemesis. Because I don't know if everybody knows, but you and I lately have been arch nemesis.
Yeah, the negging.
I don't know. I want to get you on record on why the hell did you start negging my posts a couple months ago and then just not stop? I mean, it was nonstop. I have 3 damn pages of you marking my post bad. And finally, I lost my goddamn mind yesterday. And I neg-repped 89 of your posts. I would have done more, but I had to work. What happened?
Because Piggy did it to me once, and I thought it was really funny.
But why me? Why aren't you neg-repping Piggy?
Because I don't think you'd have a sense of humor about it. He's Swedish.
I stopped having a sense of humor about it.
Well, it's probably going to keep happening, so I suggest you get one.
I went into the forums, and I was like, every time I see that I got a helpful post, I was like, oh, maybe I posted something funny that people enjoyed. And then I look at it, and it's just like, you just neg-repping me because I posted about Rufus Mickelson.
Yeah, I mean, no, and usually I enjoy your posts.
Bullshit!
I do!
All right.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to the forum right now if I were you, though.
If you just neg-rep me right now, this, you know, all those off-limit topics, they're all coming up if I got neg-repped right now.
You definitely didn't.
You did! Dude, you're such a piece of garbage. And why would you neg-rep me talking about Hawkeye?
No, that was actually something really good you brought up. Here, I'll change it to helpful.
That guy currently has the most at-bats in the league.
Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous. The Hawkeye, the new Ash of our league.
The submarine.
I don't know how he got that status, because he's a fairly recent owner, and he was never active that I can remember.
Who, Hawkeye?
Yeah, was he ever active?
No, Hawkeye's been around for a long time, though. He's not a recent owner.
But was he ever active at one point?
He's active on the forums.
Yeah, does he participate in the Wolf game or something?
No, he's never played the Wolf game.
All right, so he is not active on the forum.
Is that the barometer? Is the Wolf game? I don't think he listens to this podcast.
I don't pay attention to the Wolf game, so that may.
And anybody that doesn't listen to this podcast is dead to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. So I guess we'll find out if Hawkeye listens, if he responds to this, because otherwise he's just dead to you. So.
Hawkeye! tell me that you love the Threads of Time podcast. I need you. I need the viewership.
Stop this. Contest what I'm saying. Contest that you are. Don't say that you're the new Ash. Say that you're better.
Right. Besides, Hawkeye's white, and I need the white people demographic. I have too much color in my audience.
Do we have a lot of? Do we? Is our league very diverse?
Yeah, we have a white Swedish guy. We have a white guy from Ecuador. We count pimp as like 7 different races, so that helps.
Pimp's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy for an American Samoan, Cherokee, Black, yeah. Filipino. What else I got?
Look, you want to go run through owners and talk about them?
I want you to run through the owners and talk about them. That sounds like it could turn entertaining.
Yeah.
All right, here. How about we run through owners and you give me one sentence about each one?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. And I'm not going to leave it just to this league. I'm gonna throw you a couple curveballs here.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah.
All right, ready?
It'll be a Rorschach.
Yeah, right? Okay. Yeah. Citizen Clone.
Phony.
Whoa. That is starting off serious. Makilla.
Smash.
Tino.
One of my favorite guys in CFBL, and I know no one else likes him.
He's one of your favorites, huh?
Yeah.
You know why he's your favorite? I'm gonna get you, because I do my research for the Threads of Time podcast.
Yeah.
He likes you, and you like him, because you were the quote-unquote secret weapon of the Dirty Dozens.
You know, I think it's because we were similar ages at the time, and we've stuck with the game throughout.
But you know, he called you the secret weapon of the Dirty Dozens.
I'm aware.
And that's how he was going to surpass TCL, was owners like you.
Yeah, well, he came close, right?
And did you know that he would PM people a test that wanted to get into the league and link them to your profile and ask them if, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much they thought they were like you?
That's amazing. Yeah, that can't be true.
It's not. I made up that last part. All right. Packer Ken.
Oh, Packer. Packer Ken and I used to have a very good relationship, and then I guess he had some personal stuff going on in his life, and now I don't find him as fun, though I think he's still a very, very good guy.
He's going to be fun again because he's just getting over his most recent bout of vagism.
Did he break up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. Really?
He sent her packing.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No,
sorry.
That's the best possible thing that could have happened.
That's my sentence for Ken. Sorry to hear that.
No, that's the best possible thing that can happen. You gotta eliminate those things.
Mending it twice. You're a great guy, Ken.
He is a great guy.
You're going to be better off for this.
Yes, there you go. All right, how about this one? I'm going to get you on this one. Yeah. Joke line.
The person who probably works the least of anyone in this league. Laziest person.
Like, that's probably true, right? Once you become a judge, you don't really have to do shit.
Well, no one's really, he's a state judge, so he may have to be elected, but,
was appointed.
No, he's appointed, yeah, so.
Yeah, doesn't do shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly posts in the league enough, so.
Yep, and he gets to go home to his, a hot wife.
His posts require research and...
No, they don't. He just posts GIFs.
Yeah, well, that takes time, man.
I guess. He probably has his secretary do it.
His law clerk. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Did you look at your LinkedIn profile to see all the stuff that he
Yeah, no, he really did it. He really did it, but I have to approve it, right? So... Yeah.
You know, yeah. I approved the ones he did of mine, and it got like a bunch of likes or whatever. He said that I was good at podcasting, video podcasting, and belting.
You are.
I'm good at belting for sure.
You're amazing. That's my sentence for you. You're amazing.
Okay, now I'm gonna get you to talk about the most narcissistic guy in the league.
Yeah.
Boise.
Boise. I like Boise. I like Boise. Boise
Why?
And I, we chat a lot.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You text a lot?
No, we're on Gmail.
On Chat Roulette? Is that
yeah,
where you get them?
We meet on Chat Roulette. The problem is you have to click 7 million times to find each other, but we find each other.
And you're both in a dark room?
Yep.
On a microfiber couch?
Yeah, you can describe it.
Both wearing a white t-shirt?
That's exactly how you imagine it.
Tidy whities?
Exactly.
He's drinking a Miller High Life, and you have a glass of a white wine spritzer?
That's way too hard for me. Come on.
That's what he said. Bingo!
Hey, all right. Got it.
How about Trempic?
Trempic? You know, he was the guy who... didn't he say that he hates tanking, but he also hates trading? So the result is he ends up tanking inadvertently. So I'll go hypocrite.
He's in a... Well, he doesn't really tank, though. He's always, like, in the middle or...
No, he got top picks. No, he gets top picks.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, I know because I went back... Because you nagged every post in my draft review.
Yeah.
So I went back through it, and I had written that about him.
He's also the most mysterious owner in TCL. He's not on any social media that I know of. He doesn't give any details about his name or where he works. He's even a little vague about where he lives. He's really weird about that. I really got a breakthrough on him.
Well, we got to have him on the podcast, right?
I don't think he'd do the podcast. I'll try.
Try.
Trempic, if you're out there. Ah, that motherfucker doesn't listen.
I always pronounce it Trem-K.
Well, it might be.
Trem-K.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever know. All right, how about Piggy?
Swedish, no sense of humor.
Swedish guy, I know.
Yeah.
How about CK?
I don't think CK is long for this league.
No, probably not. We tried to put him up for a vote. Where did that vote go? Joey didn't ever put it up. He was the one that wanted to get rid of him.
I guess there wasn't as much collective will to get him out as we thought.
I disagree. There was like 8 people that said, yes, this is a good idea. Let's get rid of him.
I don't know what he's doing at college that is. Maybe he's having the best college experience ever, and he just doesn't need this.
I think he's grounded. Did you see the video podcast I did with him?
No.
Oh, you got to watch that. It's a dandy. There's one part where his mom comes in during the podcast. He slams the door in her face. She yells at him. He has to leave the podcast, and he comes back in carrying a 45-pound dog, and he tells me he's grounded. I'm not even joking.
That's pretty funny. You know, I want the best for him, but at the same time, his excuse recently for not being active in the trade forum was that he's not getting enough offers.
Yeah.
Which is a complete egg-chicken thing. CK, give it a shot. People will trade for you. You might have to try for it.
Get your shit straight, CK.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you're talking about trades, there's one thing I forgot to mention before, and that's trading with you was super painful because of your Dark Wolf is not available AIM message that came through every time I text.
Why
and I have to clear them.
About this?
How did you not know?
I don't know. It makes no sense because I'm on Gmail.
I mean, we had threads about it.
I guess I just assumed that people were joking or like I never kind of clicked.
Man, I'm glad that we actually text now that you trust me enough to give me your phone number.
Oh, come on. I'm even considering coming to one of the meetups.
Are you coming to Vegas?
I'm considering it, yeah.
Oh, man, you should.
I'm considering it.
I just put up the hotel information. Check it out.
I don't know. The thing is, I don't know if I could tell people I know with a straight face who I'm going to meet.
But you know what I do? I just say it's a group of guys I've been around for like 10 years. We're in the same fantasy baseball league. You don't have to explain it past that.
Yeah, no, but like it would be for my – if I were to tell my parents or my my girlfriend, for instance, that would be the problem.
Well, if they don't understand, you should get new parents or a new girlfriend anyway.
Yeah, I can do that one.
Yeah. But do you even need to tell them? Just say, I'm going to Vegas. I'm sorry, I'm addicted to cocaine.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of hesitated there. Wolf, are you addicted to cocaine?
No.
You are a lawyer in New York. If you're not, you will be addicted to cocaine soon.
I was going to make a sarcastic joke, but I realized that you can't ever say things that are sarcastically. So
you can't?
Well, for posterity's sake.
Oh, yeah. See, that's, you picked a job that doesn't enable you to have a lot of freedom. Kind of like a joke. Like, I get to say whatever the hell I want now. That's why I left the hotel business. Now I'm at a company that encourages me just to talk shit all day. Now I can take this podcast big because I got nobody to hide from anymore.
Who's the next owner?
We're done with owners.
We're done?
Yeah. I don't got any other owners that I think you have something funny to say about.
Yeah.
How about one more?
Yeah.
Gaddius.
Gaddius, we used to be actual enemies. Now we're cool acquaintances.
Wait, what do you mean? How are you enemies with Gaddius? He's like the nicest guy that's ever existed.
Yeah, he didn't like my tongue-in-cheek attitude toward the league, or the fact that I would attack people when they made bad deals. so he decided he was. You don't remember this?
No.
He decided he was doing a trade embargo against me.
No, I don't remember that.
I was very snippy in public about this.
How long ago was this?
This was when this is all the way back to when he had left the league. So all before right. He left the league, and then when he came back, he decided to lift the embargo. I voted for him anyway.
That was nice of him to lift the embargo. It was nice of you to vote for him.
Yeah, of course. He's grandfathered in.
All right, so we talked about the video. We talked about the belt.
Yeah, I'll have another one up. I promise.
Well, no, but I want to talk about the actual belt.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, right?
It's fantastic.
I mean, I put my heart and soul into that. It killed me when I had to send it away. You haven't knocked off any of the fake jewels or anything, have you?
No, I don't handle it enough. To do that. No, I shared my office mate at work and he loved it. And of course, Luke, my roommate, also thought I was incredible.
Yep.
Did you actually
wear it while you were showering?
No. I wouldn't.
Clean that thing up.
I assume it's all plastic.
What? No, that's metal.
Oh, that's, yeah, all right. So I wasn't sure. I thought it might be metal.
Well,
so
the inlay, the classic leak inlay, is some sort of composite plastic, but the belt itself is metal. You didn't even hold it long enough to know that it was made out of metal. Well, it's made out of gold plate.
Now that I think about it, it's obviously metal, and that's why I was definitely.
It's a $1,000 belt.
That's why it does not cost $1,000.
It did cost $1,000 because I had to customize it.
You're very wasteful with your money.
Yes.
That's incredible. I guess, you know, I guess who else would, how could it be cheaper?
Right. I like the pimpish shit. Because they don't make fantasy baseball belts like that. So I had to get a fantasy football belt, then call the company and get them to custom make it. Then I had to send them the design of the Classic League logo that was from CSFBL Showdown, and then I had to pick from Getty's Images two of the baseball things for the side images, and I had to buy those. Yeah, it was a whole ordeal.
Okay, I have a confession to make.
All right.
I lost the belt.
Yeah, don't even do that. You son of a bitch. I'm negging you live on the podcast.
Yeah,
this podcast just got negged.
Well,
and you know what? You know what your punishment is for saying something like that?
What?
We're going to talk about McCoogly Kokum.
I
knew that was coming up at some point.
Well, that's a classic, you know, so I guess we can tie this into the broader point is I really can't spell. If I think about when I'm writing, if I think when I edit and go back through things, I can, but I don't really edit my posts unless I see it's clearly gibberish after I've typed it. Or and like I just happen to notice, or people who regularly G-chat with me. But it's not like I'm just like that here. I'm like that. We have at my office, we have something called Blink, which is like a instant message for the inter-office.
Yep.
And the things I write about it are embarrassing because it's often incomprehensible and garbled because I just type it and I don't know. Just
who's
never got
it. Trust you to represent them.
Well, but the thing is, anything I've ever submitted, I'll say is impeccable, and that includes emails I write, office emails, because I review them.
Yeah,
I take the time. I mean, I'm trying to think of one thing though. You know, this another thing. It's probably because I type with two fingers.
I do that too.
Yeah, I get up to 50 words a minute, and I don't have to look down.
Yeah.
But I think that's why.
I think I'm a little better now, but for a long time I could only type with my index and middle finger and then my thumb for the space bar. That was it.
Yeah, I do that the same.
Now it doesn't matter. Now I'm like, when you say you're all thumbs, that's a good thing because you type on your phone almost all the time now.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I'm sure Bengal will appreciate this part. The Wolf School of Grammar, right?
What do you mean?
He likes to make that joke.
Oh, Wolf, that's his joke. Oh, yeah. The Wolf School of Grammar. Well, we got the Wolf School of Grammar. We got Goodish. You know, so there's several languages spoken in TCL.
Oh yeah, no, completely. One of my friends from law school actually said that reading my G chats, you had to pick it up over time.
Yeah.
How to translate them.
Yeah. So the Canterbury Arch Nemesis is your only team now.
Yep.
Are you falling out of love with CSFBL, or are you just trying to keep TCL because it's important to you, or what's the story there?
I think I've just always been a one-team guy. Even going back to when I first started with Remake, way back when. I might have multiple teams, but I really only cared about one.
I've always been that way too.
Yeah.
I've had other teams, but they were so second tier. And I get a lot of people because of my post count that try to get me to join their league. I get a PM probably every week because people think I'm going to add activity to their league, and they are always disappointed if I join.
Yeah, I've had the same exact experience.
So, last question.
Yep. This is good timing because I'm actually going to be meeting a friend for dinner soon.
Cool.
So
where does the name? I understand the wolf part of the name. Where's the dark part of the name come from?
You know, this is something that originated when I was 14. So you'd have to ask 14-year-old me then. You know, I think it was even earlier because that was my AIM, which is probably when I was 10.
Dark refers to your thoughts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because we used to think you were a murderer. Remember those comic strips that we'd have?
That was so fucking funny.
Croco's comic strip where he had you sneak up on somebody and behead them?
It was hysterical.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that now, but we used to think you might be a little bit crazy.
Oh, you know, who knows?
Maybe you are.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe... Yeah, I don't know. What is your sense now? You've spoken to me for now an hour and a half plus our earlier conversation. What do you think?
I don't think you're crazy. Oh, maybe crazy like a fox.
Yeah, like a wolf.
Like a wolf. So, yeah. Wait, if you made it when you're 14, then where did the number 22 come from?
22 is my birthday, September 22nd.
Oh, mine's June 22nd. So that's why I'm Zubaz 22.
Yeah, there you go. That's why.
Yep.
But so the dark thing, I assume I was
in the throes of some sort of playing some video game. And the dark characters are always cooler, right?
So your first team, though, was the Chelsea, and now I understand why it's Chelsea, White Wolves.
Yep.
So there you were more accurate, because you were definitely more white than dark.
Oh, my God, yes. We should probably touch on the fact that I'm an albino, right?
Right. So, yeah. Well, you're not actually an albino.
Not fucking albino.
Does it bother you when people say that, or when PR first said it?
Literally, there is nothing that has ever been written on the forum that has actually bothered me.
He wrote one line that did make me laugh, though. It's just a funny albino line anyway, where he talked about you having alabaster babies.
No, he's really... funny, right?
That's good. Terrible. So when we were talking about Harlem, you said we were talking about you sticking out like a sore thumb, and you said you didn't want to talk about something. Yeah. I thought it was the albino thing, so that's why I didn't bring it up then.
No.
Oh.
No.
So you don't care about the albino thing?
Oh, come on, no. No. No, please keep making albino jokes. Make more. They're fine.
All right. Okay, now I want to ask, because we talked about you might be crazy. Your franchise name is Killing Muppets.
Yeah. I don't think I expected when I created this in high school to be playing this 12 years later.
Probably not.
I think it's probably an inadvisable choice.
What does Killing Muppets mean? Does it mean anything?
You know, I'm now thinking back to the first day when we all discovered this. We were in the computer lab, and we like all discovered this website, and we all signed up at the same time. And
CSFBL, you mean?
Yeah, CSFBL. We all just signed up and created our teams. And I think I just did like I think I thought that was actually going to be my team name.
Oh.
And I think it was going to be Muppet Killers, probably.
But it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So you joined. That fateful day was July 18th, 2005. You've been around. Going on 10 years?
Yeah.
You're currently viewing the super happy power rankings.
God, that's creepy. Yeah, I am.
Isn't that creepy? That's what it says. I'm looking at your profile right now.
Yep.
And I have your webcam on.
So you can just see me?
You should put on some pants. Boise's not coming on Chat Roulette for another hour.
He's on just on my other laptop.
Wait, so you're Eastern time zone. You're meeting a friend for dinner. It's 10 o'clock at night there.
Yep.
I don't know how you do that, man.
I mean, it's honestly not ideal. The fact that I was talking to you and then the calls I got from work just pushed it this late. Normally, I don't eat this late. But, like, for instance, tomorrow I'm going to dinner, and to be safe, I have it booked for 8:30. Like last night, it was pretty shitty. I had an easy day at work, and then got slammed at 5:30, and had dinner plans that I had to push off until midnight. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, that's how you get addicted to cocaine, right there.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
You should do it, man. It trust me, it makes everything in your life better.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to have to take you on faith there.
Yeah, do it. And then if you click on your About Me tab, you've rated only 60 out of... Oh, no, that's... that you. You've only rated 60 out of 140 or 153 times helpful. I didn't say that correctly. You've been rated helpful 60 out of 153 times, which means that 93 times you were rated poorly, and all 93 were by me.
All by you. No, I'm amazing. People love me.
People love you. Yeah, women adore you.
And so do
Asians.
Women like me, right?
So, okay, we've hit that point. It's an hour and 30 into the podcast. We're going to wrap this thing up so you can get out to dinner. But at this point in the podcast, I always give my guest a chance to say anything they want, anything we forgot, anybody you want to bash or love on air for posterity forever and ever. Amen. The floor is yours.
I've enjoyed this thoroughly. You've been great, great host. Joke was right to give you a LinkedIn podcasting award. We should do one. We should all meet and give you a podcasting award.
That's up my own belt.
Yeah, I think we need to celebrate Pennant Wars more.
I do.
Because it's important.
Pennant Wars.
Yeah, Pennant Wars. And I don't have much more to add. This has been fun. I hope people enjoy listening to it. I think I called Smidius a dick earlier. Again, Smidius, I don't think you're a dick. I think you're amazing. I wish you had been easier to trade with, especially because... You know what? Let me get into this. Hold on. You need to respond to this, too.
All right.
So, can you pull up the player Benji Serhoff?
Oh, yeah. We can get back on Benji Serhoff.
Benji Serhoff, career 718 OPS. Currently with a 623 OPS, 29. Granted, he's a former number one pick with lofty potentials. He has high discipline, which just fits into my team. Last season, I offered two firsts and a all-bat prospect who's going to be ready.
You offered two firsts for this guy? He sucks balls.
Firsts. he didn't bite.
He's a high-range catcher.
Yeah, so then I saw that he wasn't going to be good, so I started scaling back my offer. Until this season, it was just a first. Smidius then has the gall to make the claim that Benji Serhoff is a better player than Jimmy Ha.
Oh my God.
So, just incredibly, incredibly... Oh, and also, he made the claim that he didn't want to tank and had, quote, never tanked.
And he's tanking right now.
And then he trades his three best players for a single, you know, good, but not... superlative pick.
Number 8 overall is what he traded for.
Yeah, good. Good. And then I think Pimp turned around and traded one of those players for like the 9 pick. So,
did he really? Probably Cody James. Let's look him up.
Pimp had like the best offseason ever.
No, not Cody James. James McClanahan?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he traded him. Yeah, I think you're onto something here. I think you flipped him. He traded him and Mark James for the 6.
Yeah. Okay. Mark James is like a 31-year-old power pitcher. Great. Where's that getting you?
Yeah, Pimp did do well this offseason.
No, Pimp killed it. He also
turned a shark, man.
Turned Jerome Leaf and Tyquan Hunger when first are the impossible to get. He somehow turned it into traded both of them for 2. Pretty good first. He had the best offseason of anyone in a while.
In fairness, but Mark James is having a big year right now.
Yeah, I think that's... I had Mark James on
it's
my
his
team.
His defense.
I think that's more due to the defense.
Yep. Yeah. PR has the best defense I've seen since like the early 2000 jelly teams. His defense is so crazily stacked. Yeah. So, yeah, all right. So what were you trying to get off your chest there? Are you trying to get Pimp to trade you Benji Serhoff?
No, I was more just mad. I was apologizing for earlier saying that Smith was a dick, but then I ended up just throwing him under the bus.
Yeah, you made it worse. Now I think he's a dick too.
Well,
and all the podcast listeners think he's a dick. In the next newsletter, I want Smidius to tell everyone what a dick he is.
Just edit out the end of this podcast, all right?
All right. I don't edit.
All right, well.
I don't know how.
Smit, you're an amazing guy.
You're a good guy, Smit. That's what we said. I'll edit out the rest of the stuff about where we called you a dick.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you. I got to run.
All right, man. Thank you very much for the podcast. Wolf finally coming on here, the 3-time defending champ, going for his 4th. Thank you to all my sponsors, Amazon.com, Nike, and let's say Budweiser. I don't know. And we are out of here. Soldats, you are literally up in the draft. We're out, bitches.
Attention, everyone.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.